The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we're coming to you on a little bit of an off week, an off time now as we get ready for Christmas. It's Wednesday, the 18th of December, and I guess we're really coming off of a very exciting and compelling President's Cup, and again, a little bit of Christmas time off as everybody gets ready for heading to Hawaii for those that are playing in the Century Tournament of Champions and those that are following along. But again, this is a time when everybody gets to spend a little more time at home with your family and theoretically and doing Christmas type things. But Paul Stankowski, our good friend, will be joining us here shortly to talk about a couple of things personally that he's got going and has been doing, but also get his reflection on the President's Cup and maybe a little couple of predictions on 2020 and what's going to happen on the PGA Tour. Frank Bassett, as always, in our Nashville studios. I'm assuming, Frank, you're usually global, so unless I miss something, you're in Nashville, right?
I'm home. I'm here. I'm in Nashville. Can't you tell? The rattling of beer cans in the back of my pickup truck in Nashville, Tennessee, baby. It's a new song. Yeah.
Bogey barking in the background.
Bogey in the background in the other room. I have the studio door and a towel below it and everything else to keep him off the show today. Yeah, no, it's good to be home, Tim. It's good to be home for a change and kick back and... yeah, getting ready for Christmas, getting ready to get the American Express bill in January and have a heart attack.
It's a good time of year. It's been cold. I looked at the weather here. We're here in Dallas, and it's chilly here in Dallas. It'll warm up, but it started pretty cold, and I looked all over from Boston to Chicago to almost everywhere other than southern Florida.
It's cold.
Pretty cold. So, yeah, it's probably not golf weather. Yeah, not cold. It's too cold to play golf in a lot of parts of the country, but that's okay. It's
my news flash, tomorrow night is my golf group's annual Christmas party. So you want to do a show Friday morning?
No,
Think so.
I want to hear you try to talk Friday morning.
It's going to be fun. The Club Corp, the Bluegrass Country Club of Club Corp, Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club, and our golf group, Everyday Golf Boys is what it's called. Those are all the guys who play every day, just about, except me.
Yeah,
but we have our annual Christmas party, and we raise money, charity, that kind of thing. So it's going to be fun.
Nice.
It's going to be fun.
Very good. Well, another guy who's plays golf almost every day, or has been for a long, long time, is our good friend Paul Stankowski, and he joins us now as he's on his way to some treatment with Troy Van Beesen, our favorite chiropractor on the PGA Tour. But before he gets there, he had a few minutes to spend with us, and we're glad that he did. Paul, how are you doing today?
Guys, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to picking Troy's brain because he just got back from down under, helping the President's Cup boys get their bodies ready for that victorious run at the President's Cup. So it'll be fun chatting with him. But I'm all as well, man. It's cold here. My phone read 28 degrees this morning. Which I'm headed after Cairo to go play some golf with some buddies and
it'll warm up.
I'm really hoping it warms up fast.
Troy Van Beesen, the only man I know that I shouldn't say it this way, but I will. At East Lake last year, he was taking a nap laying on the treatment table after he'd gotten all the players out in the Tour Championship. I walked up in the locker room and just took my foot and went bam and kicked under the table. I thought Troy was going to break me in half.
Wow. But, that was nice of you to do that.
Yeah, I wanted to wake him up. Matthews. You told me to do it. Sure. Yes, you did.
I don't think he ever sleeps. He never sleeps.
The guy works his tail off. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always no doubt.
He's a great guy.
Somebody's back. Hey, Paul, I got to ask you before we talk a little President's Cup and some other things, too. Give us an update on what happened with you, PGA Tour Champions. You had qualifying that was out in Scottsdale a week and a half ago or so. And, I know how the results, and everybody else that follows that does too, but kind of tell us the scenario, because I'm curious how you feel about it. Heartbroken? Was it exciting and challenging and kind of what you expected, or what did you think when it was all over?
You know what? The week itself was really amazing. You know, I had no expectation, because I did. You know, I had high hopes, put it that way. but you know, not being inside the competitive environment for what, 5.5 years or almost 6 years that I took a hiatus. I didn't know really how I would respond. You know, I played 5 Korn Ferry events and I played 1 PGA Tour event this past year, but I wasn't in contention. You know, my goal each of those weeks was to make the cut, and I missed the cut in all 6, but I, you know, I saw some good things each week. So I was encouraged and hopeful. But I didn't know. And, you know, the week got started and I came out of the gates striping it, and I hit it so well. I thought well, I processed well. I did everything right for 17 and a half holes the first day. And, you know, I tried to kind of nurse a little 9-iron to this back hole location on my last hole, the 9th hole at TPC Champions. And it's on the pins up on a little plateau. And you know, I should have probably just hit a full club that would have taken over out of play, because, you know, it's on a plateau and it falls off in the back. And anyway, I went with tried to massage a little 9-iron in there and caught a little bit of a heater, a little flat, landed hole high and jumped over the green and didn't get up and down, made bogey for my only bogey today. And, you know, the next day I got first hole, I hit a hybrid off the tee and hit it in the hazard or penalty area, hit it in the water, and made bogey and off to a rough start, but brought it back. And each day, I finished inside the top 5 after round 1. I think I might've been tied for 2nd in round 2. I was tied for 2nd going into the last round. So I was inside the top 5. They only take 5 spots, 78 guys, for really the whole week. And, made what, 12 pars and a birdie through the first 13 holes. The last day, I hit it well, but I wasn't knocking the putts down, and ended up bogeying 14, missed a birdie putt at 15, bogeyed 16, birdied 17, bogeyed 18, hit it in the water and missed it by 2 shots. And so it was, you know, I had mixed emotions because I was gutted. My family was gutted. My friends who were watching at home and just hitting they just keep hitting refresh on the computer screen, waiting for the next hole to come. And I was gutted, I won't lie. But all that to be said, I also left the week super encouraged. You know, I'm glad that I was in it the whole way. And yeah, I failed down the stretch to earn one of those 5 cards. But what I did gain was the belief that I can do it, because I saw it through, like I say, 67 holes. I didn't hit all the shots perfectly, but I thought my way around the golf course, even through 72 holes. I didn't. I lost focus the third day when I saw the cameras. To be honest with you, I saw the cameras after I hit my shot. I missed the green on that same 9th hole, par 5, from 104 yards to an easy pin. I pulled a wedge, a sand wedge, and then as I'm waiting for the next guys to hit, I look behind the green. I'm kind of like trying to see where my ball is, if I caught the edge of the green or not, and I see a camera tripod and the camera guy who I've known for 30 years, and instantly I started shrinking, you know, inside, and I couldn't even look at the camera. When I got to my ball, it wasn't a great lie. It was a hard pitch, I had such fear. It was weird, guys. And I'm obviously just throwing it out there to everyone. I forgot that I'm talking to your listeners. I thought I was just talking to you guys, but I was fearful, and I hit a very average pitch, which I chipped it horribly all week. I only missed about 10 greens, but I chipped in once and I maybe got up and down once other time, but I didn't chip it very well anyway. And then I 3-putted, and the whole time, like, I had my head down. I was hyper aware of everything. That's my dog. Hyper aware of everything around me. And it was really weird. And I made a double bogey.
So why do you think that was, Paul? I mean, you've been around cameras, but because of the time off, it was just new and different for you?
You know, guys, I have no explanation other than the fact that it's competitive golf. And sometimes, weird things happen, you know, and like I say, I've always embraced the camera. I love it when the camera's around, you know. It means, one, you're doing well, but two, I always like to yuck it up with the guys but for some, you know, it's been so long since I've been in front of one, right? Inside the ropes. And I think that, I don't know, I just, it was weird. So on the next, so I walked to the next tee box and that guy had been set. Now he's set up on number 10. And I looked at him and I said, how's it going? And started chatting with him and embraced him again. And we had a little conversation and I proceeded to chip in for eagle there at number 10 and got those two shots back and was off and running. So that was one, I had one blip in my focus. And then I got distracted by a cart behind me on 16. I'm usually really good at stopping. I have no problem stopping if I'm distracted. But for some reason, I didn't stop. And I said, you know, it's amazing what happens in a split second, but you know, all the thoughts that come to your head, that's a cart. So the moment I thought that's a cart behind me in my backswing, obviously I'm not focusing on what I'm doing. I'm thinking of a cart. Yeah. And I think it's just because of the, you know, the intensity of the moment that I failed to stop, you know, like I rushed through it and I hit a poor shot and still had a putt inside 8 feet and missed it. But, you know, all in all, I can say I was gutted. It really stunk because I was so close. I was in there. I had it in my grasp the whole way. But I was super excited that for 70 of the 72 holes, I played strategically. I had I took great care in preparing for each shot. It was so much fun to get into there. And I realized that I'm not far off. I can compete with these guys. I now hit it as far as everybody else because I'm 50 and everybody else hits it short now too, for the most part. So I'm not competing against guys hitting it 60 yards by me anymore. And so I'm playing with kids my own age. And my golf game is in pretty darn good shape. And my mind is actually really good. So I took note of the couple times that I got distracted and why I got distracted. And I'm going to learn from those things. So it stinks to not be exempt, but thankful that I have an opportunity to do Monday qualifiers, which I'll start at the Chubb in Naples. We had planned on, my dad was to turn 90 2 days after that tournament and they live in Fort Myers right down the road. And so, you know, obviously hoping, this is months ago, we were planning his 90th birthday and it was going to be awesome to maybe play in the Chubb in front of my dad again. It's been so long since he's watched me play and he passed away in October. And so it was kind of a, you know, a sad, obviously it's a sad time, but I'm looking forward to, Monday qualifying there or Tuesday qualifying, whatever they do, or I'll be writing for exemptions as well. So anyway, I can't wait to get started. Like I hate the fact that I have nothing to play in between now and in February. Like I don't want the clock to speed up. Cause I wanted it to speed up to get to 50, but now that I'm 50, I want it to slow down.
Hey buddy, I have two observations here. Number one, your dad's still watching and always will be.
Yeah,
I feel for you, and I'm sorry about your loss. I mean, it's terrible to lose a father or any parent. But second observation is, we were gutted for you too. There are a lot of people out there who were, and I know Tim and I especially were talking about it, and we were just heartbroken for you.
Yeah, well, thanks. You know, it was tough. You know, I felt for my wife. She took it hard. You know, but it's, you know, my kids probably took it hard. My son did. He really wants to. He wants to go caddy for me out there. It'd be fun. He'll get his chance. But I was gutted. But like I say, I always try to find something encouraging in moments like that. And you know, one of my biggest prayers for the week was peace and calm. And especially on the last day. And you know, I know I had a lot of people around the world praying for that specifically. I didn't pray to get my card and for great success. I just wanted peace and calm so I can be clear in thought. And courageous throughout the event, you know, and I was, and that's so cool, to experience that. So like for me, that was, you know, hashtag winning, even though I failed, but it was a lot of fun. And I, as much as I love competition, I also hate competition because it's so dang stressful. Yeah. So it was a mixed bag of exciting and anxiety and everything about it. So it's crazy. It's just a game. It's a ball. We hit it, we find it, hit it again. And sometimes they pay us to do it.
Yeah. Imagine to our listeners, a PGA Tour champion, out there in a tournament after a little bit of a layoff. Not much. Still plays competitively with his pals. Yet, distraction. Distracted by just that 1 second I see the camera. That one thing. How many distractions do amateurs have every day on the golf course? And yeah. Your ability to focus, which is phenomenal compared to all of us. But that one little thing gets you. It's a hard game.
I was talking yesterday to a guy. We were having some lunch, and he was asking about it. And I said, it was amazing because when you're in the battle, I always had the ability to. I love looking around. That's why I love playing beautiful golf courses because I don't have to focus. You get 40 seconds to hit a shot, and usually I start dialing in about 50 yards from my ball to start looking. Trying to figure out my yardage and, looking at the pin and all that kind of stuff. But I used the other time to just kind of look around and enjoy the scenery and chit chat with my caddy or the guys in my group, whatever, the scorekeeper. And, but in this event, everybody rode their carts. I walked the whole time and my caddy drove a cart. So I was by myself a lot. And I really felt like the whole time I was pushing back anxiety and distraction and thoughts and that was exhausting, I've been out of practice, right? I felt like a boxer going 10 rounds with Mike Tyson, because those thoughts, the thoughts of making it, of missing it, of, my dad, of you name it, all those things were flooding my brain. And I was just like, I felt like I was just pushing these thoughts back the whole time so that I can stay focused on this next shot I have. And boy, oh boy, it is tiring. It's exhausting. It's been great I'm glad it's over because it's been nice the last few weeks to not have to do that. Now I just have to pick up the bazillion leaves that are in my yard that have fallen off my trees.
Hey, buddy, when you finish, come on to Nashville too.
I'm doing it every 3 days. And
me
my
too.
Neighbors are probably cracking up because I think it's half of their leaves are in my yard, and I keep picking them up, and every day I look and they're back again.
Yeah, just blow it into the neighbor's yard. Uh huh. I got you. That happens here.
We're joined by Paul Stankowski talking about qualifying and trying to qualify for the PGA Tour Champions. Is it tougher, Paul, to you think psychologically to come that close and be frustrated, or would it have been easier on you in a lot of ways if you had missed by 10 shots or 12 shots instead of saying, oh, two shots, it would have putt here, that chip right there, two shots you could make up and you could figure out where you could have saved that. Does that grind on you more than if it hadn't been even that close?
No, I'm glad I was that close because like I say, okay. It gave me encouragement to know that I can do this. If I had finished in the back of the pack, I might have been discouraged that, okay, my game's not near close enough to compete with those guys. Now, this wasn't a PGA Tour Champions event. It was the qualifying school. And so, the field strength, obviously, is a lot different when you get to the actual show than the qualifier. But the fact that I was inside that number, and I still finished tied for seventh, two shots out of the number. So I'm super encouraged. If the whole thing was just about that one day, if I got it's the last tournament that I was going to play in the rest for the rest of my life, if that was the then yeah, it would have probably. But I'm like, it's still preparation for the next event, and I wanted to take something good. I took a lot of good stuff out of there, and some things were revealed. This fear of I don't know what happened, why I shrunk when I saw the camera. But the next time I see a camera and I saw him the rest of the week, I didn't have that feeling, but I'm sure the next time I see a camera, I'll remember that. And so the distraction, back away when I'm distracted, don't just push through. And all those things they're all learning lessons. And we go through, I don't care what job we do. We have to battle distraction, right? We have to battle thoughts of, I don't want to go to work today or whatever. You got to battle through and go, okay, let's something good's going to happen today in the midst of all this crap and chaos. Let's look for that. And so it's a mindset. So I'm not glad I finished seventh and missed it by two shots, but I'm happy that I was in it until the end. And because I'm going to learn from it.
Good. I mean, it's a good lesson, and we look forward to you playing because I think Monday qualifying will be a whole other thing for you, but to get in some of those tournaments, we wish you the best and continued success for Champions Tour. We know you've got some treatment and you've got to run, but before you do that, I want to talk a little bit about President's Cup. What are your reactions? What are your thoughts about how that played out? Because it certainly was a flip-flop of what people had expected, a blowout by the U.S. on paper, all that kind of stuff, and then suddenly, bam, they're getting punched in the face in the first couple of days and had to fight back, but it made a dramatic comeback on well, Sunday there, Saturday our time. What'd you think about the President's Cup?
Well, I thought it was super exciting. And it also showed that I don't care how on paper the U.S. team looked favored, everybody in that field was capable of playing amazing golf. You're not on a President's Cup team if you're not capable of playing amazing golf. And so that could, if that all happens on, you know, at the same time, it's going to be tough to beat that team. I don't care who it is. I mean, you could have taken the top 12 from the Korn Ferry Tour and the score could have been the same after a couple of days. But we all do know that cream rises to the top as well. And I don't think, you know, while I'm sure Tiger and the boys were not happy about where they were at after the first 2 days, I think that they didn't panic, you know, because I think as athletes, you can't panic. You just got to know, keep, you know, I'm a Nick Saban fan. So do our job, everybody go earn your point, go do your job. We're going to come out on top. And if you can tell yourself that, you're going to be in a better position to succeed. Now, I guarantee you the Europeans, the internationals were also saying the same thing, but, I thought it was exciting. It, you know, the drama was there, you know, the whole Patrick Reed thing. And I mean, everything was there, setting up for an amazing week. The golf course, golly, how good does that golf course look? It was fun. The golf was exciting. You know, I know half of the shots were taped, but it seemed like every time they showed somebody, they were making a 30 footer. It was amazing. I thought it was great, exciting. The end of it, just looking at Tiger, and he's a different guy, right? I mean, it's so different now. The Tiger Woods that we're getting to see is as drastically different as the Nick Faldo we see in the booth, because it was a different Nick Faldo playing golf than is it you hear him on TV. And Tiger, obviously, he's having fun. He loves yucking it up with the guys. You know, before he wanted no part of anybody. Oh my gosh, it's awesome. It started for me when he won the Masters, and that whole 5 minutes of silence and just like everything that happened from his procession from the 18th green to the scorer's tent. You're like, all right, this is a whole new guy. And it was fun to see him get emotional and hugging people. And it meant a lot to him. And it never really appeared as though those team things really meant as much to Tiger, because he wanted to win majors. But I think, you know, he's a different guy. It's fun to watch. I cannot wait to see what happens here in 2020. You know, on the PGA Tour, he could win the Grand Slam, for crying out loud. I'm not saying he will, but as good as he's playing,
he looks strong, easy.
Yeah. It looks so easy, effortless. And we all know his mind is what made him great. Because the shots he hit looked like everybody else's shots. But, you know, they just went farther back there. Now he doesn't hit it farther than everybody, but he sure does know exactly where to hit it, and he gets
well,
it
you still think that he's going to make
chances.
Every putt too, don't you? Like when he stands over a putt, even if it's 25 feet or something like that, his concentration, his prep, everything, you expect that putt to go in a majority of the time. And obviously it doesn't, but you kind of just look at it, and it's different than a lot of those other guys get up to line up a putt, and you're kind of like, you know what, there's a 10% chance he's going to make that putt. With Tiger, I always feel it, because you're right, the other shots are the same. He doesn't hit every wedge within 3 feet or anything else. His shots are like everybody else's. But you do get that feeling, because he's, I think, the greatest putter of all time, especially clutch putting, that he gets over a putt that means something. And you're just like, I'm telling you, if it doesn't make it, he's just going to be right there, lip it out.
I really think we missed one thing was Matt Kuchar's Suzanne Pedersen moment when his putt clinched it for them, at least, you know. That was pretty good for Cooch. He jumped around and acted like the Cooch of old and happy and giddy, which was neat to see.
It was neat for him to happen to him, too.
But one comment, I want your guys' comments on what Tiger said about Abraham Answer in the media center after his match and after the round, everything was over, when he was asked about Answer's comment about warning Tiger Woods. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Tiger said, yeah, well, he wanted it. He got it.
Yeah. You know,
Answer, by the way, I don't think Answer should have answered, no pun, any other way. Obviously, yeah, I want the best. I want to be able to say that I took on Tiger Woods. And I'll give it my best. You don't want to say, well, no, I'm going to put my tail between my legs and I'd rather go play something. No, who's going to say that? So it wasn't a personal, I think I'm better than Tiger. But, of course, if I ask Paul tomorrow, Paul, you could somehow magically play Tiger back in 97 and there's a two-stroke lead at the Masters, and you'd say, yeah, put me there. I'll do it. And if I blow up, I blow up. But you want to take that shot. So I thought it was great. Answer was phenomenal.
Well, Stanky's been head-to-head with Tiger for years, so he would know as well as anybody, right?
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what. No, I will decline to go head-to-head right now. Yeah. I'd rather take your place, damn it. No, I'm just kidding. It'd be a lot of fun, obviously. And I know what Abraham was saying. He is going to be better because of that moment. And that's the thing.
Sure,
I mean, it's if you're an athlete and you're trying to get better, you want to play against the best. Even though you might get punched in the teeth or the throat, you're like, all right, dust yourself off. And then you can put that arrow in your quiver. I've gone toe to toe with the best. Now he kicked my butt, but hey, I did it. Next time I'm going to be less intimidated, less nervous, or maybe hope to be a little more focused. And it is fun. Golf's in a great spot. You know, I all those guys wanted to play with the old Tiger. They're not getting the old Tiger. They have a new Tiger, but this guy's playing some pretty darn good golf. He might. I don't know if he's going to play enough this year, but he could win more than anybody else this year, tournament wise. Which is kind of fun. It's can he win the FedEx Cup? Can he be leading money winner? Can we even say that anymore? It's going to be fun. I hope his body stays healthy. I've seen some video of things that he's been doing in the gym. Not like powerlifting 400 pounds or anything, but just movements. This guy's moving amazing. You just gotta sit back, get your popcorn ready, and watch 2020. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it is too, and I think there's a lot to expect, a lot to look forward to, with guys that we have a lot of eyes on, and that's when Koepka coming back. It's Tiger we're talking about. It's Jordan Spieth getting out of his funk and seeing what happens with him. Ryder Cup is coming up. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to 2020. And I'm looking I'm looking forward to what's going to happen with you on the PGA Tour Champions.
We sure are.
It's going to be fun.
Best of luck, Paul, with all that. And we'll certainly be talking to you again very soon. But best of luck with the upcoming season. And I totally agree with you. Whatever happened in Scottsdale was all just a great experience for you, and it'll compound and be even more valuable for you for this year and down the road too. So congratulations on getting where you got to and continued success this year on getting back into golf. I mean, that's by itself is a cool thing to kind of just get back in the competitive playing of golf, which you've been out for, you said, half a decade. That's a long layoff. So you'll get back in there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's fun. I'm excited. I can't wait to play golf today. It's going to be good. And I get to – this is the first time I can actually move up to the old guy tees.
You'll love that. You'll love that.
Yeah, they're not going to like that with Paul on those tees. They're not going to like that
You'll be the guy 70 yards in front of everybody from now on. Yeah, when you're playing with your buddies.
Yeah.
All right, Paul. Have a great day.
Guys.
Hey, Paul, take care. Merry Christmas, buddy. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas.
For sure.
Thank you.
Good holidays. All right. Take care,
guys.
Paul Stankowski. There he is. Yeah. He's probably doing more of the training than he ever has before. You know, we've joked before with Paul about his lack of training. You know, the fact that he just kind of.
He just had so much natural talent. Yeah.
And a Southern California laid back kind of guy, right? Yeah. And he wasn't that intense and blah, 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 blah. And to see that he's into it and he's kind of gotten back. Because when you take off the time, and I've talked to Paul a lot of times about this over the last 5-10 years, when you take off and you're not compete, there's a part of you that's like, I'm kind of not wanting to anymore, right? You lose the interest, the drive, and it's neat to see him have it back and want to get back out there and play and compete.
Yeah, it was great hearing his perspective on focus, on discipline, on you know, distractions. And his, yeah. you know, Paul's a very insightful guy as well as a very fine man as far as his faith is concerned. And it was good hearing that. That's, I like hearing that from folks. So
yeah. So it was tough. I tell you what, he went into, if you remember, we talked about this more, but we remember he went into the final round.
I know.
Right there in the top five, right in the mix. And he was at that point, I think, at fourth place or something like that. And there are so many guys that went really low.
Yeah.
And he ended up shooting, I think, even or maybe even one over.
Yeah.
When they were, and I'm forgetting everybody's names, but there were guys that were 400, 500, 600, 700, 800
yeah.
under. I'm
yeah,
like,
crazy.
Wow. And so Paul, you know, while he didn't play terribly, just didn't take advantage, I guess, on that final day, that even two or three under for him would have put him in there. So, anyway, it is what it is. And, you know, if he Monday qualifies and gets in, all you have to do is kind of take the old Jordan Spieth way and a lot of these other guys that you kind of sneak in through the qualifying or trying to get there before you've really – gotten an invite and play well. And if you play yeah. well when he gets into these tournaments, then everything else will take care of itself and he doesn't have to money qualify anymore.
Well, so, you know, this.
But he's right. It would be Bernhard Langer and those guys.
Yeah.
The next tournaments he plays in.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
like, oops, mm-hmm. look at these guys. Yeah, it's a little bit better field.
Yeah. Yeehaw. And I just love it. You know, I've said this 1,000 times. I just love club pros or club champions, if you will, that say, yeah, you know, I'm turning 50 next year. I'm going to start thinking about maybe
sure.
going to, go get them.
Sure, yeah.
Go get
sure
you some.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. It's tougher
go
there.
Go shoot your 84 in that qualifying.
Yeah.
See how it really stands.
You better be able to shoot 65 4 days in a row on a tour course. Yeah.
I'm curious how Paul, how it, I mean, not in a bad way, but it was curious that he was affected by the camera like that. That just seems like a weird thing. You kind of think that it would just be, you know, there's another guy and he's got a camera, or you'd certainly seen people, fans, whatever, standing there with their cell phone. So that just having a guy with a camera, but that's weird that kind of distracted.
But that one
right?
distraction. His, and he does. Yeah, he yeah. plays to the camera. He's like you are. I mean, you're a TV personality. Like I am as a musician. Yeah. I mean, we played to the audience. We played to the camera. And loved it. We'd yuck it up, like he said, with them. And love that attention. But that's that one distraction kind of put the hiccup yeah. on him. But then he shook it off and eagled. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's
I would have had so many distractions, Frank. They'd still be counting my score.
I'd have been
I'd be like, okay, camera. And then the next hole would be squirrel.
Yeah.
Then next hole would be falling leaves.
Beer cart. It's old beer cart.
They're all driving me crazy. I can't do it. So, yeah.
Liquor anyway, cart. Get over here. I'm not having a good day.
Good
this will
him.
Make it better.
Sure.
Hey, this is got to make it better. Yours.
Oh, God.
Hey, it is this time of year that we and everybody else take a little break and ready for the holidays. Again, the next tournament up on the calendar is the first of the year, or right after the first of the year, the Century Tournament of Champions, which is, as we know, Tournament of Champions, guys that have won last year. That's one of the advantages, too, right? Is if you can win on the tour, and everybody talks about how it changes your life, Frank, and of course, every year, new first time winners on the tour. Part of it is you get to go to tournaments you wouldn't normally get to go to.
Yes.
And some of these, like the Century, you get to play in and you get an automatic paycheck and some of them don't have cuts and you get the World Golf Champion. All this stuff just flows in. And that's what's so great about, and I've said it before, but that's what's so great about PGA Tour is that every year and almost week by week, there's another guy that's life is changing. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know what Mickelson and Tiger and Rory
sure.
and all the guys we talk about all the time, their life is kind of set and what it is. But there's other guys out there that are kind of like Paul going, I hope I belong. I'm not sure. I haven't won yet. I used to win in college or blah, blah, and then they win. And, boy, it just – so that's what's kind of neat. So we'll see a lot of those guys, obviously, a tournament of champions, people we know, as well as some of the newcomers that are getting out there. That's what was neat about the President's Cup, seeing guys like Answer and a lot of those other international players that quite honestly, we haven't seen an awful lot of playing so well.
Yeah,
just imagine what
really,
that's doing for their psychology, right?
Really good
so
golf.
More confident.
Really good golf.
A lot of drama.
So we'll be in 2020.
Are
you know,
be in Nashville?
We'll be. Yeah, I'm going to be here
for the holidays. Okay.
Yeah, not really going anywhere. Family all here, and try to play a little bit of golf if it'll warm up enough to you know put a peg in the ground.
Yeah,
it's pretty cold, but you know, in 2020, Tim, we're you know, you and I have discussed this about where we take the show and what we do. And we're going to do a little more, maybe a lot more, of coverage of PGA Tour Champions events. So, you know, hopefully we'll see our buddy Paul.
Following Stankowski.
Following Stanky, you got it. but we really are. Those are great events to do, and it's just a lot of fun. It's an experience like no other for our listeners. Get out to a PGA Tour Champions event. The golf is every bit as competitive, or more so, and the quality of the shot making is beyond belief. So we're going to have some fun.
Well, and I think it also is what Paul was referencing about Tiger Woods. As guys have gotten older and now pushing 50 and 60 and guys that are playing on that, they're not as edgy. There's not the there's certainly the competition, but they're having fun. And they also have an appreciation for, look what I get to do. And you don't always get that when you're 25 years old and 26 and 27.
You don't.
And there's an intensity, and that's fine, and it's great. But there's also sometimes, I think, an edginess about the regular tour that you don't find. Champions Tour, it's almost like there aren't any ropes. You can have exposure. Guys are happy to sign autographs because they didn't know they'd still be doing this at 52 years old. And they're like, pfft. So that's what we like about it when we go to those events. And I know a lot of fans that go as well really, really like it because it's just it's like all of us, like Tiger. He just, even the most intense people get a little bit chilled when they get a little bit older and start playing and appreciating what they're doing. By the way, talking about the club guys, you know, just to reference that, to say, hey, you know, I've been a three-time club champion here at
Bushwood
in my club, and I know what I'm doing here.
Bushwood.
I'm going to play in the Champions Tour.
Yeah, right.
Two names that are soon to be, at least possibilities, if they want to, are Ernie Els and Phil Mickelson. Getting to that. Well, those are the guys you'd be playing against. So that's what I'm saying. As
I know, that's what I mean.
Champion, you're going, okay, you're going to beat Phil and Ernie?
Yeah, go get them.
Really? Go ahead. Have fun with that.
Hey.
Call your wife again and tell her how you shot your
Make sure you carry a lot of cash because it's about a dime a hole is the average bet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, okay, and automatic one downs. So there you go. So have your banker on your bag.
Champions Tour is really – and I hope Phil does play, and I hope Ernie does play. I mean, those guys sometimes don't choose to, and certainly Phil seems like he's
– It's mid-year for Phil. When he has the ability to do it.
But it seems like he's full on for being PGA Tour for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
But would he play the senior majors maybe? Maybe. You know, will he play some choice ones that he just – I think little by little you'll do it. And, anyway, it's competitive. It's great. It's going to be a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, 2020 is going to be a blast. You know, for everybody out there too, how to get us. You know, you hear us on PGAtour.com. Go to iTunes, go to TuneIn, go to Stitcher, go to Google Play, go to Amazon Alexa and say, Alexa, play Golf Talk America on TuneIn, and it'll play the show for you. So go to those platforms, wherever you get your podcasts, you know, subscribe to us, and, you know, you can pick and choose how much of us you want to listen to or how little of us you want to listen to at that point. So.
They want to listen to a lot.
God, I hope so.
Oh.
So anyway, It's been a great 2019.
Right.
Exciting stuff has happened this year, from Pedersen to Woods to on and on and on. All the new players, and 2020 is going to be even bigger and better. We'll see you. Please come up and say hi for you PGA professionals. Come up and say hi to us at the PGA Merchandise Show. We'll be doing the show live on the stage at the main entrance to the equipment area. During the PGA Merchandise Show.
Orlando Convention Center?
Orlando, Orange County Convention Center, Orlando, Florida. Actually, we're right now in negotiations, and we'll see what happens. But we may be there the week prior for a golf tournament, a celebrity tournament, Diamond Resorts. So we may be doing the show live there also. So my family won't see me for the month of January. I'll be in Florida, and they'll be here in the snow. Have a good time. You know, no matter how many nice things you have, none of it looks good laying in your front yard or in the back of a pickup truck as you're moving out when your wife throws you out of the house. So maybe she can fly into Florida and visit.
She's got to be used to it by now.
Pretty much. I think she's happier with me gone. So it's okay.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. So
it's
anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, well, you know what, Tim?
All right. Let's do it.
It's time for some eggnog and... I'm going to head out to Club Court, Bluegrass Country Club, and see the boys and get ready for the Christmas party tomorrow night.
Perfect, perfect. Don't forget, if you want to know more about Club Corp, check them out. Go to clubcorp.com. and you can find a course near you. And when you're a member one, you have privileges all over the country at all the different facilities. It's a great, great deal and a great environment to be a part of. Again, clubcorp.com is the website to go to. All right, that should do it for us. Hope everybody has a great holiday season, and we'll be back shortly after the holidays and talk about all the excitement of 2020 coming up. Thank you to Paul Stankowski for joining us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks once again, everybody, for listening to us. Join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.